Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
We are in a tin can with a baby in a echo chamber. Okay. And you want to talk to me about being okay?
Okay, because you're yelling.
So that's is the baby. Baby.
Okay, so you're a man.
Did that you're pay extra to you? Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I'm sure you can picture the scene. You know, you're on a flight and maybe it's 7 or 8 or 9 hours and it kicks off and the baby starts and the baby's crying. And look, to be fair, most parents, when I've ever witnessed this happen, you know, you can see that look of, oh my God, on their face. It can't be easy travelling with kids. But Corendon, Dutch Airlines, have announced that they're going to launch an adult-only zone, adult-only areas on their flights this year. So basically what's going to happen, right? I was looking into this morning. The children are going to be kept out of these designated adult area zones by means of walls and curtains. And it's going to create this shielded environment, as they describe it, that contributes to a calm and a relaxed flight. And yes, there's a price tag. You're going to pay €45 for the price, the additional price of your flight to sit in the adult only zone. And it'll rise to £100 if you also want to get the larger, the bigger seats that'll give you extra legroom. So will you pay it? Laura's on the line. Laura, would you pay more to sit in the kid-free zone?
I don't know. Sometimes you could get adults that are, you know,
just as bad. Absolutely.
But I don't know. I think if they had some type of maybe entertainment for kids. You know, if they brought on Coco the Clown for the first half hour of the flight, he's part of the staff.
Are we all going to have to endure Coco the Clown?
No, he's only in the kids section.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's a personal decision. You could have someone who works and they're on their airlines or whatever, flying back and forth. And on a Monday, they're not in the humour or whatever. And on a Wednesday and Thursday, they could put up with the noise. But it's just, it's also an aspect of, you know, kids are kids. They're not confined in spaces and it's not part of the norm. They like to be able to, you know, move around, vocalise or whatever. Mm. So I think when you go on a flight, you're going to have to just say to yourself, look, I have to take that into consideration. Will I be able to do it? And if not, we'll then pay the £100 and
yeah,
hopefully the noise won't be as big as you think it might be.
But just noise travels. I mean, like, I don't know what what good a curtain's going to be. Whatever about a wall. But like, yeah, you know.
Yeah. But it is a hard one, all right. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's like everything else, you know. Maybe if they can designate the front section of the plane for families and further down the back, maybe teenagers or something in the middle and then the back section. I don't know, really. It's personal choice.
Yeah. I can hear the parents now screaming at the radio, you know, if you talk about putting their children down the back of the flight that you're nearly putting them in steerage or something. But
no,
but you're right.
I think it's space. I think children, I'd be honest, I think, okay, my own mother was smart. I know one flight I was on and I thought, I was one of those mammies, I just thought I'd never get the child home. You know what I mean? He was just, he wasn't in his ears for absolutely. And there's nothing as bad as an earache. But anyway, we survived it. And the chap that was sitting beside me, he was very obliging. And I said, I'm really sorry. He said, I don't like having an earache, you know. So it depends on, you know,
who you get.
Yeah, who you get. And if you have a person that's maybe not well or whatever on the way home, or airplanes don't suit or whatever, they're, you know, their discomfort, if they've backaches or whatever, that's going to, it's all personal. But if they're going to take the chance on being in where there's children and everything, they're going to have to really think about that one.
What about you, Anne? Would you pay an extra €45 minimum, or maybe you'll pay €100 for the extra leg room too, just to sit in the adult only zone?
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, I have to say, I've been on flights. Now, I had said to her, I don't go very far because landing kills me. So I can understand a child screaming if they're in pain with their ears or their head or whatever. But I don't know. I can understand if a child is upset and things like that. And as you say, sound travels, you know, so unless they're going to get something that's totally soundproof. But I mean, I've been on flights now where, to be honest, the only person that caused the problem was an adult, as the other lady said, because they had too much to drink or something like that. But I find now, I remember a friend of mine was going, and she was only going to Lanzarote or wherever it was, And she had the children up and at the airport at godforsaken hours in the morning. So you're waking your children, particularly under 5-year-olds, you're waking them out of sleep, or you're not letting them sleep, and then you're bringing them to an airport to have an early flight so that she wouldn't miss a day of her holiday, because she didn't want to go on a later flight because she felt she'd lose a day. But I kind of kept saying to her, but the kids are going to be cranky. And I sometimes think, you know, that's what happens to young children. They're cranky because they've been woken up to be at the airport at 4:30 or 4:45 or 5 o'clock in the morning to have a 7 o'clock or wherever it is flight, so that they're getting the full of their day over there. But the kids are wrecked, like, do you know what I mean? I even hate going on an early flight because I'm leaving the house at, you know, 4:15, 4:45 in the morning.
But let's be honest,
we get a flight at 6:30.
We usually, well, I know when I get the earlier flight, Anne, it's because it's the cheaper flight. It's more affordable.
It's the cheaper flight, yeah, definitely. I can understand that. But the last couple of flights now, I've said to myself, look, I don't want to be getting to the airport at 4:45, 4:30 in the morning, because I can't eat then. And if I can't eat, I get a migraine and then I'm dying on the flight. My head is pounding. When they're landing, I have to chew chewing gum, and I chew it like as if I'm chewing for the rest of my life, you know. Otherwise, I get a pounding headache. I'd rather go and pay the little extra to
and
go at half 12 or 1:45 or whatever. I don't care. I'm only going to Spain anyway.
So is your point, Anne, that maybe more parents should consider the same? Is it maybe don't be taking the children on the 5 a.m. and the 6 a.m. flight? And
most parents are going to be. You see, the problem is they're not going to like when we do it. We would pay the hotel separate to the flight, whereas most parents would probably be doing this with a company, so they have to go on wherever the flight is. You know, if you're doing it with, say, Cassidy Travel or some other
package
travel
holiday
agent,
or something,
you have to go on the package flight wherever they say. Whereas if you're doing it yourself and you're saying, well, there's a Ryanair flight, say, to Sandown there, and I can get the later flight, and you book your hotel separate, that's fine, because I don't, you know, I wouldn't be bringing children now. I mean, I didn't bring any of mine until they were at least 9 or 10, because I just wouldn't have the hassle of bringing buggies and the whole lot. I just couldn't.
I feel sorry for parents sometimes, you know, when you see them in the aisle and they're trying to organise children and they're throwing the tablet at them and they're trying to get the bags up and the pram and the, like, it just, I don't know, look, each to their own. It looks like an absolute nightmare to me. But Joan Scales is with us on the line as well. Joan, will you pay an extra £45 to sit in a kid-free zone?
I think I probably would. As someone who travels regularly, I've had the experience of the seat kicker, and anybody who travels regularly knows what I mean by that. The seat kicker. I've had the screaming ears as well, and God help them, I felt sorry only recently. I had poor child scream for hours. I've also had a long-haul flight where the parents just gave up halfway through. They were young parents with two very young children, 2 and 4, and Auntie Joan ended up stepping in to mind the kids. Because the parents were wrecked. The parents themselves were wrecked. And I think after about 5 hours, they lost the will.
Yeah. So you took over.
I ended up finding their kids. I took over, just to help them out. I felt sorry for them. But I agree with Anna what she said. I really don't think, if you're going on holidays, that it's better if kids are a little bit older, if they're kind of 7, 8 upwards. I mean, I've seen kids in places like Florida, Orlando, Disneyland, Universal, all those places, which are wonderful. And Disneyland Paris, they're a wonderful place for kids. But if they're under 4 or 5, they're wrecked the whole time. You see them falling asleep everywhere. They're cranky, they're bad-tempered, because they're miserable. It's too hot. They're queuing all the time. So really, I think it's important to remember, you know, to take your children a bit older, when at least you can talk to them and say, look, sit down and behave yourself and you'll get a treat. Whereas when they're younger, it's more difficult. So yes, I could imagine I would be tempted to pay a bit, particularly if it's school holiday time. Mm.
I would pay the £45 winter, quid, you know. I wouldn't pay it to go like for a 2-hour flight, but if I was going on a long haul flight, I'd absolutely pay the €45.
Yeah, no, it'd be worth it. Now, it does sound a little bit cynical from the airline's point of view, it is a way of making more revenue.
But sure, you usually have to pay. I'm yet to sit in a plane, you know, in recent times where you typically have to pay for your seat now, or pay for it through the bag if you don't want to sit in the middle seat in the back row.
Well, that's true. Yes, everywhere nowadays there's a charge for everything. You're nearly charged for breathing the air. So I think really thinking about when you're travelling is important.
Yeah.
If you don't travel, if you really need to travel, don't travel during school holidays, because of course it's bedlam. And that's what woman is right. You know, people turning up at the airport 4 o'clock in the morning, haven't got their kids out of bed. Of course, they're going to be cranky.
But I do. But do you think?
Get overexcited.
Yeah, but the parents, Joan, there, like, you know, look, and some of them are great, and you're right. I was on a flight 2 years ago, about an 8 or 9 hour flight, and similar to that, the child was about two. And he jumped and screamed on the seat the entire way. Like, it actually came to the point of nearly being funny. But, like, you know, the parent just let him at it.
Like, I know. And then you're sitting watching this and you're saying, I paid a lot of money to be here. And this is just a nightmare, listening to child scream.
Yeah, so that's why I'll pay the 45. Now, I wouldn't, as I said, pay it going to Spain or something. But if I was ever taking a long-haul flight and there was an option to have a seat with leg room and in a, you know, well, I don't think this curtain's going to do much good, but if they have this wall they're talking about, I think I would pay it. What about you, Paul? Will you pay to sit in an adult-only zone?
I don't think so, Andrea. I think it's all, this has been taken about. I don't think any parent gets on a plane with the intention of their child acting up. And in fairness, I've been in that situation before I had kids and when I had kids.
Mm.
And, you know, when you get on a plane with a small child, the last thing, you know, you want is for them to act up. But sometimes it does happen.
Yeah.
And the parents, in a lot of cases, would do anything to try and make the child, you know, be quiet. But sometimes it just, you can't do it. And then on the other side, you know, you're talking about a child, a zone for adults only. What about when people get on drunk and disorderly?
Yeah.
I think they take a child crying over some guy or girl who's drunk on a plane.
Yeah, well, funny you say that, Paul. A lot of the messages, like texter here says, I would pay to sit in a stag in a hen free zone. I was flying to Barcelona just last weekend and the noise was absolutely insane. They were singing, they were shouting up and down the aisle to each other. I was unlucky to be in the row in between a hen group, says this texter.
Absolutely. You don't know. At least a child, you know, things aren't going to get violent with a child, but when you've got drunken adults on a plane, you just don't know. Yes. And you see planes diverted every day because of such and such was acting up and drunk and shouting obscenities at the staff and all that kind of stuff.
So booze-free flights then, is it, Paul?
Well, I mean, I take a child screaming any day over adults acting up and being drunk and whatever on the plane any day.
Noisy adults are the worst, says Declan, on flights, speaking in loud voices as if they were sitting at opposite ends of the plane when they're actually sitting right beside each other. There should be an announcement at the start of each flight for passengers to appreciate that they are sitting in a confined space and to be considerate of other passengers and to keep their voices down. That comes in from Declan. Do you agree, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're going to start discussing about, you know, child-free zones and where, you know, on the plane, where does it end? So, you know, you've got, as I said, you've got all these other issues with adults and different things. There's so many different issues.
Mm.
So the next minute, you know, it comes up again, especially in the States and stuff like that, about people getting on who are overweight and they don't want to sit beside those. So, you know, where does this conversation end? You know, it is what it is. Everybody gets on with the best of intentions. You don't get on to,
well, it's a communal space. You know, you could argue there's no one group has any more of a right in the plane than anybody else. Everyone's paid for their seat.
We were all kids once, so I would like to think that people might show a little bit of patience and just get on with their flight, put on their headphones if they're not distracted by the kids, and, you know, have a bit of sympathy for the parents.
Yeah, we travelled with our two children since they were babies, says this listener. 4 months to be exact. Long haul flights, dozens of times. They're now 8 and 6. It never bothered anyone. It's all about how to prepare as parents, says this listener. Do you agree with that, Laura? Is that really what it comes down to? Like, look, to be fair, most of the parents I ever see on flights, they're well prepped with kids.
Yeah, well, no, as I said earlier, it can happen. If the child is, you know, taking, I don't know, a reaction to whatever, that's unfortunately what happened to me. And my youngest wasn't well at all. And I thought, oh, I'd never get. And it's you apologise. It's when someone doesn't acknowledge the problem, if you want to call it that. The child is, and you can't just turn around and be common and civil. You know, civility costs nothing. And just to say, look, really sorry about this. I'm going to get off the plane as well.
I apologize.
And that can make all the difference. And someone's sitting there and Joey is bouncing on the back of the chair and he's using the headrest at the back of your head maybe as a punch bag.
Yeah.
And then he decides he wants to stick the lollipop over the side of your face and ask you, do you want to lick? You don't really want to lick.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you kind of have to, you have to be able to realize, look, that's not, you know, appropriate.
Yeah. Is it is that last texter, Suzanne, right? Is it all about how the preparants, you know, in as much as they can prepare for the flight? Have we got Suzanne there?
Like,
yeah, hi,
thing,
Suzanne. How
very
are you?
Young, for children that are very young, it's very hard in the sense you can't tell a 1.5-year-old, maybe you're going to sit on this and you're going to be quiet. You know, little Joey or what Judy might decide, well, I'd like to do a bit of Irish dancing in the aisle, but I'll probably, you know, knock someone's bag over or whatever. And, you know, that's okay as long as the person in front isn't being, inverted commas, used as the rag doll.
Right.
You know, I always think of the image of Toy Story.
Yeah.
The little young one who was real rough. You know, that type of,
you
know, it's just consideration.
Yeah. Have I got Suzanne on the line? How are you, Suzanne?
Hi, Andrea. Good morning.
How are you? Would you pay extra to sit in a child-free zone on a plane?
You know, I've never really have had that many problems with the children on the flights. I'm kind of in the group with your other callers.
It's the adults.
I've actually watched someone's child from the row in front of me because the parents were getting so frustrated and angry, and the child was an absolute doll sitting next to me. I've found that even with the seat kickers, when I see there's a young child sitting somewhere near me, I talk to them and introduce myself before the flight takes off. And that way, when you ask them not to do something, it's almost, you know, they will pay more attention than if you're frustrated and angry as a random stranger with them.
Yeah. So you sort of, you have a kind of a plan, Suzanne, when you get on the plane first, how to navigate if you...
When the children are your friends, they'll behave better for you.
Noise cancelling headphones, suggests one listener. This texter says, how about alcohol-free flights? That would actually save us a lot of bad behaviour, or even discounted flights for teetotal passengers. Yeah, can you imagine? That'd be great. Another texter says, I've no children, but I'd probably rather sit near a child in a plane. By the way, the grown-ups act in the airport and on flights as well. This listener was recently on an early morning flight to Pisa, and there was a family on the flight. They hadn't paid the extra to sit together. Both the parents sat in the seats in various parts of the plane and left the 10 and the 12-year-old standing in the aisle until the air hostess came down and asked them where they were sitting. Sure, they didn't know where they were sitting. They were too embarrassed to ask people, could they get in past them. The dad thought this was hilarious and was kind of asking people if they would maybe move to let them all sit together. Eventually, we noticed the youngest was in a seat past us. He was in floods of tears, spent most of the flight crying on his own, and no parent beside him. We felt absolutely awful. But his dad, the dad thought it was gas. Yeah. Do you, Suzanne, you know, I wonder, it's the paying for seats, isn't it? Like, I think if people want to sit together, and as a family, if you want to sit together, you've got to pay for the seats. Like, you can't come on the flight not having paid for the seats and expect other people who have paid to move seat. I'm always surprised by that. Although I think, to be fair, most people now, when they want to sit together, I think they do actually pay for their seat. 087 1400 106 is the number. Would you like adult-only zones on flights? We're talking about this today because it's the Dutch airline, Corendon. They've announced they're going to launch this adult-only areas on some of their flights from later this year.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.